O thou sacred book of books, into which the humble looks, here within thy precious pages, wisdom, light, the rock of ages, here, king's highway, heaven's portal, crimson cross and life immortal, here, my eternal soul is fed. Here, storms are made to cease. Here, Christ arose up from the dead, King of kings and Prince of peace. Open the book. We used to go to church every Sunday. We didn't bring Bibles. There was always a Bible in the pew. And I think most of the people we knew had one on their coffee table, but they didn't open the book. It contains the answer to people's problems, whatever they are. Jesus is the answer, and they don't open the book. And I've given some of you a little how to get the most out of the Bible, and then I have a couple of these left, and one of little verses from the Bible. And perhaps you know somebody who needs to know the Lord Jesus, and they never open the book. Why don't you give them one of these, and it'll get them curious enough to open the book. 66 books, all different yet one. One message, one spirit, the written word done. 66 books make up the whole, given by God for healing the soul. We are privileged by grace to hold in our hands each living letter, God's words and God's plans. Tent for the sun, tabernacle of light, food for the hungry, where the weak find God's might, a light for our path, a lamp for our feet, a trysting place holy where our Savior we meet, a place where the lowly can find the Most High, in the cool of the day when God's Son passes by, every word glowing and filled with God power, streams of life flowing each minute, each hour, each tree abundant, packed with good fruit, where faith comes by hearing, feeds and takes root, God's holy word. And he came to the place. When I open the Bible in the morning, I look for the place. And God knows my greatest need, and he usually brings me right there. Somebody asks, how much do you read? Some people read the Bible through in a year. My wife likes to read it once a year, but she reads it in 90 days. Tells me she enjoys doing it that way. However you read it, what's important is that we read it, that we open it. People ask me, how many verses do you read, or how many chapters do you read every day? I read it until I find God, and he finds me. And there I stop, and there we have a fellowship in my greatest need. That's how I read it. Sometimes I read a little longer, but when I meet him in my need, we fellowship right there, like Adam in the garden before the fall. In Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus came to the place where he was brought up, his home assembly. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this planet, to this troubled place. And the place where he found us the place where he found me was a troubled place. Sin has made this world a troubled place, and it is filled with trouble. Money trouble, marital trouble, political trouble, heart trouble. In Psalm 22, in verse 11, David prayed, and it was a picture of the cross. He prayed, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help." That was, of course, Jesus on the cross, trouble drawing near. A Canaanite woman had a daughter with a devil. Now, that's trouble. She had a devil, and Jesus was passing by, and she cried out, if you'll read about it in Matthew chapter 15, "Lord, help me." It was enough to make God Almighty stop. Jesus is passing by every time we open up the Bible, if our spirit is right and humble. And he came to the place. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And perhaps somebody this morning is in trouble, and God wants to give you rest. In John 14, Jesus gathered his band of disciples together and said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those who believe in Jesus are going places. But in order for Jesus to prepare a place for us, first he came to where we were. And then he went to a place called Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26. In verse 36, "And he then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples." He came unto a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press. And it was where Jesus, verse 38, is found to be exceedingly sorrowful, if you look at it. Exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Has anybody here ever been there? Exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Caught between the stones of the olive press, so to speak. You thought you might die right there, or maybe even wished you would. Jesus, the Bible says, was acquainted with grief, and he carried our sorrows. And he came to the place. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart, to feel crushed between grinding stones. Jesus was there at Gethsemane, and he came to the place. He knows. He said to the religious, proud people, "I know you, that the love of God is not in your heart." See, we just see the outside. God can see right into the spirit. He sees our heart. And he knows if someone's heart has been broken. And all that person has to do is come to him. Like that Syrophoenician woman. Or the Canaanite woman. And say, Lord, help me. And I've opened the Bible 1,000 times. And he's done just that. He's helped me. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. From Gethsemane, he was bound like a criminal and brought to another place, which the Gospel of John calls Gabbatha, or the pavement. And there, in this place, he was judged by men. The world is a pavement upon which many of us have been tossed and thrown out, if you will, into the street. There Jesus is in the judgment place as Pilate passes judgment on him. And if you look at it and read the story, it was the place of the greatest injustice the world has ever known. He was put on trial, paid false witnesses, gave testimony, and the religious leaders and priests, scribes and Pharisees tried to twist the truth in a kangaroo court. This sin-cursed world is filled with injustice. We read about it. We hear about it every day. Honest men are sitting in jail while lawbreakers are getting away with murder. And we say it's not right. It's not fair. It's not just. And if you have a heart, you have to see it. You have to feel it. And then you have to go to a place called Gabbatha and see that Jesus suffered the greatest injustice the world has ever known. For after all the evidence came in, and after the jury had made their final remarks, Pontius Pilate said, I find no evidence to convict this man, but take him out and crucify him anyway. Some of us sitting here have been cruelly treated, and we feel it's just not right. It's not just. It's injustice. Criminals are getting away with murder. Go like Mary. Open the book and sit at his feet and let him tell you about injustice. And by the time you see the nails through his hands and feet and the blood running down his face and him crying out for thirst, after you see that injustice, your injustice will feel like nothing, and you'll rejoice in what God has done for you. He cries out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In this world, it's just not right. And you might have to endure some great injustice. Jesus knows, because he stood in that place. Sorrow, injustice, then Jesus is led away to another place called Golgotha, a place of the skull. Psalm 22 describes, they pierced my hands and my feet. Jesus was mocked. The world should have been shocked, but they shut out their lip. Oh, what an awful agony. When he came to that place, he opened the book and he came to the place. When Abraham went to Mount Moriah, God Almighty said, this is the place I told you of. He said, I want you to take your son that you love, and I want you to go to the place I'll show you. And then when he got there, God said, Abraham, this is the place I told you of. And all through the Bible, from Genesis to Calvary, prophets have been pointing to this place, and they didn't understand what they were pointing to. And then when we open it up and see our Savior hanging on a tree, God, the Holy Spirit, says, this is the place that I told you of. It's where God's Son would pay your sin debt in full. Jesus went to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. I go to prepare a place. Then an angel stood outside the empty tomb and said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. We need to go to that place as well. We open the book and we come to the place, and there's an empty tomb. And the angel declares God's glory, that whatever God says is true and will come to pass. And because he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up, and did exactly what he said, every other word he said is true as well. Then in Luke chapter 16, if you'll turn there, please. Luke chapter 16. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man lived in opulence and he lived in ease. And Lazarus was like a dog beneath his table, gathering up the crumbs which fell. And the rich man woke up in hell, if you will, and he cried out for water, something like a drop of water on his tongue. And then in verse 28, he asked that Lazarus would be sent to his home to speak to his five brothers. Verse 28, I have five brethren. Send Lazarus, if you will, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Whoa. He warns us about another place that we don't want to go. And anyone who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior is headed for that place. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago to take your place on Calvary's cross so that you could be with him in heaven in the Father's house forever. He came to the place. Have you come to the place where you see yourself a sinner? Have you come to the place where you see yourself poor and needy? Have you come to the place where you say, you know, I've been blind. God has been trying to show me the light for all these years and I just didn't see it. And now God opens your eyes and the scales fall to the ground. Have you come to that place? The whole congregation in Nazareth thought they were okay. No, thank you. We're good. No, we're good. Everything's fine. No. None of us have arrived yet, even when we're saved. God's still working on us. He wants to fill our heart with his love and with his Spirit and to make us not just like Jesus as on Facebook, but he wants to make us be like Jesus as we follow him and serve him. Have we come to that place called Calvary where the only hope of the world hangs on a cross? If you've not, come to that place today where you say, Lord Jesus, you took my place. I bow before you and accept what you've done for me, and I will follow you. Where's everybody going? What's going to be the end? What's the whole Bible all about anyway? You can take a blowtorch to it, and it remains unscathed. Drill bits cannot scratch it, and if in acid bathed, it sits silently in a sea of pain, unchanged, unharmed, unmoved. It survives every grueling test and is in the fire proved. It cannot be sawn asunder nor smashed with hammer blows. What is this awesome wonder that will defeat all foes? A light that laughs at lies and does not fear dark skies. It is above, around, and under, does not flinch from lightning or the crash of sound and thunder. Evil cannot overcome it. It breaks the serpent's tooth. All will one day face it. It is what God calls the truth. The Bible is the truth. Simple as that. And one day, everyone will face the truth. Why not today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that the Lord Jesus went to those places for us. And he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Thank you that he went to Gethsemane and prayed for us and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Thank you that he stood in Gabbatha and opened not his mouth before his accusers. Thank you, Lord, that he went to Calvary and took our place on that cross and suffered and died for us. Thank you, Lord, that he prepared a place for us and he's coming, maybe today. Help us, Lord, to be burdened for those we know who are still outside in the dark. Help us, Lord, to help them find a place as they would open up the book of books and find Jesus. Bless this assembly, and may it continue to be a light in a dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.